Morning, I'd like to go ahead and call a meeting of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee together January 14th, 2018. We're going to go ahead and have a roll call, please.
Representative Kawasaki. Representative Stevens.
Here.
Representative Sponholz.
Here.
Representative Johnston.
Here.
Representative Ortiz.
Here.
Representative Josephson.
Here.
Senator McKinnon.
Here.
Senator Bishop.
Here.
Senator Diesel.
Here.
Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Here.
Senator Stevens, Chair.
Here. We have a quorum to conduct business today. We have a fairly short agenda, so we'll try to move through it fairly quickly. We'd like to go ahead and have a motion to approve the agenda. Rep. Johnson?
Josephson, right. I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee approve the agenda as presented.
Do we have a motion to approve the agenda as presented? Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and adopt the agenda as presented. Next item, item 3, approval of the December 13, 2018 minutes. Rep. Johnson, do you have a Josephson, do you have a motion?
Sure. I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee approve the minutes of the December 13, 2018 meeting as presented.
We have a motion to accept the minutes as presented. Do we have any objections to that? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and adopt the minutes as presented. The next item is an item of cleanup, just to make sure we're synced up with action that we took at the last meeting. So we're going to go ahead and look to rescind action, add a little bit of more definition within the motion, bring it back to the table. So it's just basically cleanup to make sure there's no misunderstanding of some of the technicalities. And at the last meeting, the committee approved a special audit request by Senator Von Imhoff. At the end of the meeting, there was discussion and an amendment adopted, but then the additional discussion of another amendment so that FY18 information would be used as a baseline for OCS. That change to the FY18 was not formally adopted and voted on. The auditor has advised that she needs a formal vote to adopt the reference for the audit to use FY18 as the baseline. And I don't think we need much more explanation than that. Josephson, you have a motion?
I do. I move the committee rescind action in adopting a special audit request of OCS under House Bill 151 as amended to reference use of fiscal year 16 as the baseline year.
And I'll object for discussion just in case there's any confusion at the table. Do we have any questions? It's pretty straightforward. Okay, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the rescinding motion. Do we have any further objection to rescinding our action? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and rescind that action. Next motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the committee adopt the special audit request as presented with an amendment to include FY18 baseline data in the audit.
We have a new motion on the table. Do we have objection to that? Seeing none, I thought there for a minute that Senator Von Imhoff was going to jump out of her chair and salvage her motion, but seeing none, we will go ahead and adopt that. We'll move on then to executive session. And we have, committee has some items for discussion in executive session. Rep. Josephson.
Mr. Chair, I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22 of the Alaska Legislature and AS 242301. The purpose of the executive session is to consider the final audits for AGDC Select Financial Issues, and DCCED, the Big Game Commercial Services Board. I ask that the following persons remain in the room or online: the legislative auditor, necessary staff for the auditor, any legislators not on the committee, staff or legislators who are members of the committee.
We have any objection to that? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move into executive session. I don't think the executive session is going to last very long. Then we'll come back out of that for some final audits, and then we're going to have a kind of a rough layout of the consultant's work on the AGDC gas line as the transition from the chairmanship of the Senate moves to the chairmanship of the House. We have not quite formalized that issue yet, but we're going to give about a 90% rough draft to the committee, and we're waiting for some final edits and a few things to come back before we actually put some polish on it for the formal handoff. And I think the public and other elected officials will find that information interesting and very valuable to have.
Mr. Chairman, brief at ease.
Brief at ease. Please, while we clear the room. LB&A committee back to order. On the 14th of January, Monday, 10:38 a.m. We have a couple items we're going to do here. But first, before we kick everything off, we need to do another roll call.
Representative Kawasaki. Representative Seaton.
Here.
Representative Sponholz.
Here.
Representative Johnston.
Here.
Representative Ortiz.
Here.
Representative Josephson.
Here.
Senator McKinnon.
Here.
Senator Bishop.
Here.
Senator Diesel.
Here.
Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Here.
Chair Stedman.
Here.
11 present.
We have a quorum to continue to conduct business today, and we have just come out of executive session and had two preliminary audits, and I'd like to have Rep. Josephson make a motion, please.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee approve the release of the final audits for AGDC, select final issues, financial issues, and DCCED, Big Game Commercial Services Board.
We have a motion on the table. Do we have objection to release to those two audits in the final in the public realm? Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead and take action on that motion. We have other committee business, and we do have some other committee business today. I'd like to have Randy Rivero come forward, please, from my office. And what I've asked Mr. Rivero to do is to put together a transition packet from the Senate chairing LB&A to the House chairing it for the next 2 years. And for those watching at home, every 2 years, the bodies change chairmanship. And this committee is comprised, the LB&A, Legislative Budget and Audit, of both the House and the Senate, both majority and minority members. And we look to do a lot of nonpartisan work with our consultants for the benefit of the legislature as the entirety, or in the entirety, and have all, or pretty broad scope of political views represented at this table. We have been working over the years with a gas line, and when the Senate changed chairmans midstream this year ago, roughly, a little less than that, when I took over as chairman, we engaged a set of consultants to bring some analytics to the gas line decisions that we're going to be facing in the legislature in the event that we have a large in-state export line built. So we were ready to go when that day comes. Well, today we face a transition to the House, and the concern is that we don't lose the information accumulation that we have accumulated and we transferred in the entirety to the House Chairman of the LBNA Committee, and the LBNA Committee continues to work on it. And in doing so, the complexity of the issue is, I think, of substantial in any realm and complex. So I've asked Mr. Rero in my office to work with this transition document, which isn't quite ready yet. We are waiting to get some responses back from our consultants to fine-tune a few things, and then we'll package it up. It will be available for all current committee members, all future committee members, and all legislators in the building. And we're hoping that we'll have a smooth transition, and this document will help sitting members in the legislature and staff and the public better understand the scope and realm of what we're dealing with. We've had some complications along the way that we have intentionally kept out of the press. But at some point, we have to lay some of these issues on the table. So today is that day. So you'll probably hear about a few things that might surprise you, some of the challenges that we face here as a committee. I was hoping that we would have been a little further along, that we would have had the subject of discussion here today a couple months ago. We did not meet that timeline, unfortunately, and it wasn't until mid-December when we were told that our information flow was highly restricted out of the administration to this committee, which made it more difficult for us to move forward in as fast as I would have liked to. So I think we have moved beyond that point, and Mr. Rero will, I'm sure, talk about that issue, to where we are today. But I just want to make sure we have a good handoff. And I'd like to, before he starts, I'd like to make one other comment. I think of the significance of what we're going to be discussing today and what we're going to be accumulating in information the next few months is of such a nature, I would recommend that the new House organization, whoever or whatever that structure is, consider having this information put forth in front of the Resources Committee. I've talked with incumbent President Giesel, and we are going to most likely have that in the Senate at the Resources Committee and then up here at Finance at some point. So we're going to be talking about this in several different committees around the building and hopefully over multiple. Over multiple meetings and presentations, some of it will sink in because it does get intertwined and very complex. And with that, Mr. Raro, could you just kind of give us a preview of the coming attractions?
For the record, my name is Randy Raro, staff to the LBNA committee. Mr. Chairman, as you mentioned, a transition report is underway in progress to describe and identify the issues related to the AGDC and AKLNG project. And those issues span fiscal issues, fiscal analysis issues, to legal issues, things such as fiscal certainty that committee members are likely familiar with, and other things such as related to royalty calculations, related to the stacking or possible stacking of deductible lease expenditures on top of royalties, and whether field cost allowances apply to liquids that are produced. So there's a wide number of issues. We're working on all of them. When we started the process, frankly, it was a little surprising when we asked AGDC for their calculations that we basically heard back that they did not or had not considered those issues or were in other instances unable to share them with us. And most of the fiscal impacts flow from two areas. The first one is potential cost overruns on the project. There's some structures that AGDC hopes it can put in place that would protect the state. But at any moment, the parties that would supposedly be responsible for those cost overruns could choose to simply walk away from the project, at which time the state would be the deep pockets that would be left. And so we have some experts retained to look at cost overrun issues and how to mitigate potential risk and impacts to the state. And that report is in draft. We're hoping that'll be finaled here soon. Cost overruns on mega projects, we have information that they average as much as 80%. That's the average. That doesn't mean that this project would run over to that degree. It's simply an average. It could be much less. When you get into the billions of dollars, the numbers get very large quickly on cost overruns. And it's not that there aren't ways to mitigate those risks. There are, but we want all of them identified and then the strategies reviewed and recommended so we can mitigate the risk. And the general concept of all the work is to identify and mitigate every risk that we can identify. And in that way, the state could be on solid ground, knowing what the returns would be, what the risks are going forward with the project. AGDC presented a request last year to the legislature for an unlimited amount of receipt authority, and they were not successful. And I think a large part of that reason they were not successful is because the legislature just wasn't comfortable with the amount of information that it had received from AGDC. So there's a need for more transparency and information sharing with the legislature and the public. And I know that that can be a little tricky with commercial terms, but I think there's ways to mitigate that by presenting ranges of terms. And I think it's also important to note that while AGDC has broad confidentiality powers under Alaska law, if it intends to go to an equity offering to the public or to other persons, it does have to make disclosures of a lot of information, fiscal information, contract information, under federal SEC rules and laws. And so one recommendation that you'll see in the report is that AGDC produce publicly and provide to the legislature all the information now that it would have to produce when it goes formally to an equity offering, since it's all going to be disclosed eventually anyway. Bring it forward and let the public and the legislature review it, and it's possible that recommendations for modifications to contracts or to negotiations would go back to AGDC. It's a little concerning that AGDC seemed to be unconcerned, or I don't know what the right word is, but they didn't seem very worried about the fiscal impacts from potential cost overruns, and they didn't seem very worried about fiscal impacts from deductible lease expenditures and field cost allowances that would be created by the upstream infrastructure that the oil companies would be building at Prudhoe and Point Thompson. And the estimate is that is billions of dollars of infrastructure and then ongoing operating costs in the hundreds of millions. And so we think that's a very important piece of the puzzle to know and understand. And it's not that those costs would be insurmountable. It may be that you have to go back and negotiate different terms for when those deductions are taken or hit the state treasury. And so the chairman's direction is to the consultants is to look at all these issues and develop a fiscal year by fiscal year net impact of the project as built right now to the treasury. And it's been a little hard to get net numbers. We've seen some gross numbers come out, but we want to get to the bottom line net by fiscal year. As the legislature and the public's aware, we're in a difficult budget situation. It's more important probably maybe than ever to understand the fiscal impacts and the timing of those. And again, it's not that those would be insurmountable. They could be structured by agreement with the producers and others to mitigate the impacts to the treasury. But the overall need, I think, is for the legislature and the public to understand the impacts, mitigate the impacts to the maximum extent we can, and reach a position where the state with confidence and the public with confidence can move forward together with the other parties on the project. And so until we have that analysis and we have disclosure, it's very difficult to reach that point. And I do understand there are some commercial terms that need to remain confidential, but as I mentioned, many commercial terms or contracts themselves would have to be disclosed under federal law, which would preempt state law. So I think that's a key recommendation that you'll see in the report, is to identify the issues, disclose them, and if there's recommendations for how to mitigate those impacts, you know, let's get them on the table. The other thing that's happened is that DNR and DOR received an appropriation or appropriations last session to perform their own due diligence and review the work. And that work is ongoing, and we're trying to coordinate our consultants with the DOR and DNR experts and consultants so that we can have as much of a uniform agreed upon identification of issues and impacts as possible, so we don't get into a battle of the experts. And so there will be more meetings, or a recommendation will be that there be more meetings between the experts from all sides, including AGDC, and to try to get agreement on the variables that go into the modeling and the impacts that are identified as part of that modeling effort. And so that will be another recommendation out of the report. I can also say that since the change in administrations, we've received a significant amount of more data and information from AGDC than we've received before. And Commissioner Tangeman has told me personally that he expects Department of Revenue to provide information that will be helpful and participate in a joint process, and that he expects or anticipates AGDC also being much more forthcoming with data. So I think, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to continue working on this project. I think it'll be helpful in the end. It may not all be welcome news to certain folks or entities, but I think it's needed. We have to identify all the issues, have to identify the impacts, and then we have to work to mitigate them. I think that's the only way that the project can move forward with the other parties, if everybody's on the same page. And it's very hard, or a very, I think, unlikely request to make to a legislature and to the public for unlimited receipt authority when you're not disclosing the facts that support what the impacts of the project would be. And so I think there's a need for, you know, identification of all the issues, strategies to mitigate, and then agreement on how to go forward. I think that'll be a positive result for the project. Thank you.
Our consultants have been working well with DNR and the DOR, and they have been mostly receptive when issues would surface that need to be addressed. I was concerned at the last meeting in December when we were frankly told that the information was cut off and that created this delay. Didn't sit well. Also in December, for the first time, we had a preview, not in detail, but just on the, you know, the summary page of the integrated analysis or integrated model that would show the net impacts back to the state, which I think would be of great interest to the legislature, because it all comes down to net cash flow. And that, again, took place in December. And it is beyond me how you could negotiate a $40 billion project and not understand your net cash impact to the state. And that's something I think the Finance Committee is going to take some detailed interest in. on whatever project that's sitting on the table to be built. So I'm looking forward to that analysis going forward, and I'm very pleased that revenue has engaged and has the interest in doing the integration and review of that. I am not impressed with AGDC not doing it and pointing to revenue, and it's in their statute, controlling statutes, that they look at the net impact to the state, not just over their shoulder to revenue. So I think that's a discussion that hopefully committees in the legislature will ask them. Certainly when they're in this room, they're going to be asked, because we're dealing with billions and billions of dollars. Another issue that wasn't mentioned that the analysis is looking at on the consultant side and on the state side is the loss of oil due to the takeoff of gas. I think there might be some discussion in the Resources Committee on that. There's always a trade-off on trying to maximize the value of your basin. So that's another little complexity. So as we move forward, the next few weeks, we'll try to summarize, or not summarize, but finish up this transition document, and so everybody in the legislature has the same information, and we'll go forward with the process and continue to do the analysis, and hopefully at the end of the day, we'll end up with a large export gas line. But let me do one.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
This is Representative Seaton. I'd like to comment on this as well.
Go ahead.
Yeah, for the committee's information, I participated telephonically in the 2 days of the non-confidential Houston meeting with the legislator consultants, Kathy Klein and Richard Zerio, and AGDC, DNR, and DOR. I've had further conversations with Ms. Wilcox at AGDC and the commissioner of DNR. But in the email that I sent to everybody this morning, you know, I was very concerned because for the very first time, there was a slide number 6 in that presentation that I copied with that email that shows that they are considering actually two different projects in here because they have financially considering this alternative financing, which separates the Chinese portion, meaning the financing, probably really low terms, from the Chinese National Bank would be strictly to the Chinese National Oil Company, who would be responsible for repaying that lender. And the 25% of the project, called the equity side, where we are, would be separately done. So the consideration could be that the Chinese portion could be at, let's say, 1 or 2% interest because you have two national companies coordinating on that, and make economic gas available there. But on our side, you know, all of the portion of the equity that is raised through debt would be at probably 8 or 9%. And so we could end up with a situation where the 75% of the gas that the Chinese get could come in at, in fact, the figure was thrown out there. The Chinese were interested in this because they could look at maybe $5 gas, and we could come in at above market price gas. And so we could have two sections of the project, one being the Chinese section, which would be totally economic. In fact, if their statement was, if it came in on a budget, would be, could be in the $5 range. But even if overruns could be competitive, and we could end up with the 25% of our gas, that would be totally non-competitive based on the interest rate. Now, this is the first time I ever heard this, and what really concerned me was they also said they weren't planning on explaining this in any detail. They were going to just talk about traditional structure of financing, meaning 75% of the project coming from the Chinese and the 25% from other sources, but as a mixed project. But that, as people will look at those, because I sent it to everybody on the committee's email address this morning, if you look at that, the buyer on the Chinese side is responsible directly for paying the lender off at that, whatever waiver interest rate that is. And we, so anyway, I would really suggest that we ask our contractors to specifically look at this, because it could put us in the position that the string of pearls or some, you know, other kinds of investments are, where a portion of it is very, very economic, and our portion could be totally uneconomic, and we could be stuck in and leveraged into doing something, because we would have to be subsidizing our portion of the portion that we're selling of the gas. So I think that that's a very deep concern to me, and it was a very deep concern that they weren't planning on explaining this new financing scheme that they said is why the Chinese were interested in participating. So, Mr. Chairman, I would like to make that request that we communicate to the contractors that they specifically analyze this alternative financing scheme that AGDC, as of December, was their primary method of moving forward on the gas line. And so thank you very much. If there's any questions, you know, I'd be happy to answer those. I did write a little bit more explanation in the email that I sent, but I won't be with you in the future here, but I wanted to make sure that this specific concern was well laid out, and people would be aware of it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Rep. Seaton, and thanks for your years of work to the betterment of the state. I don't know what financial package they're gonna put together. It seems to change almost every other meeting with them. It's a moving target. Clearly, we're going to be engaging our consultants with whatever package is put on the table, and this mechanism of basically bifurcating the project to 75% overseas and 25% on this side, and running it under two different projects, Project A, Project B, or what have you, was discussed at that meeting. If they come forward, I guess, with more direction of that, we're certainly going to tear it apart and look at it. There's no doubt about that. So it doesn't go unnoticed. I have not read your email, Rep. Seaton, but it was there. Senator Hoffman, you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for taking on this transition report. It's always important that this take place, and I think it's particularly important because of the gas line and all the work that has been done. But did I hear you correct that we can expect the transition report by the end of January?
We're going to get it to you as soon as we can. What's your expectation, Mr. Ritter? How long, without putting your feet in too thick of concrete?
I think that's a reasonable date. There may be some delay, as I've been advised by Ledge Legal that our contractors, since you'll no longer be the chair and I'll no longer be the project director, that there may be some delay in getting authorizations to our contractors to perform work until the new chairman is seated and there's a new project director. But
I want to put it on the table as soon as I can. I wanted it, frankly, before we even convened this January. So ASAP. And we'll work with whoever is chairman on the House side to smooth transition. And I think one of the committee members here will be the vice chairman, possibly, on the Senate side, and we'll work with him also. And it's we want everybody in the building to have the same information. And we'll most likely be having the consultants come up and have some discussion this winter. And I'm sure these questions will come up, no doubt about it. And they'll be ready to answer them and go into more detail, including some financial scenarios, I would imagine, also. Any other questions or concerns? I would like to thank everybody for the last 2 years of work at the LB&A committee. I know in the summertime, there's a lot of other things going on. And we've all been good getting together and getting the work done and moving it forward. And then the staff, of course, for keeping everything lined up and running smooth. So don't go out and take a vacation. We're just going to start again under new chairman. We are adjourned.